Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. And welcome back to you guys who call the River Church home. And to those of you who are new here, welcome. Thank you for being with us today on this beautiful day with this wonderful weather that we're having. For those of you who do not know me, my name is David. And my wife, Megan, here is the worship leader. I am the kids director at this church. And it's just been such an honor to be a part of that, to follow the calling the Lord has placed in our lives. And we're also in these programs that we offer here at the River. We have academies, the Pastor's Academy for me, which I'm about to finish here in May. It's just such a wonderful experience to learn how to glorify God, how to preach, how to pastor the people, how to lead like Jesus. And for Megan, as a worship leader, just following that calling, that gift that the Lord has given to her, and to just be able to just lead you guys in worship in such a wonderful way. And so we're just so honored to be able to do that, to follow this calling the Lord has placed on our lives, and to be able to just preach and share the truth with you guys. And so over this past month, this last month of February, we've been going over a series that we call The Foundations of the Family. And so this is the last Sunday that we're going to be talking about it, and we've talked about the parents, the children, the husband and wives. Today we'll be talking about the parents. And so after we're done with our message today and we're finishing up, we're going to be, like as Patrick said, Pastor Pat, that we're going to have a family night out. So if you'd like more information, talk to me or Patrick, or you can go to guest services and find out more on how you can be a part of that and just gather as a church and with the families of the church. And so, yeah, so we've gone over the roles between husband and wives and what that looks like. We've talked about children, and we've talked about being obedient to your parents and what that looks like. And now today, we're talking about parents. We're talking about how to properly parent in a godly way. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you want to open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 now, and we're going to be in verse 4. It's the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4. And I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your truth with the people here and just to be able to just look at what you have for us. And I pray that we'd be able to receive your truth, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but it would be you speaking through me and using me as a vessel, Lord, for your glory, for your goodness. So we thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4, we have this. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So, what comes to your guys' mind when you think of discipline? Is there a story? Is there something that you think of maybe your child or you as a parent? I can imagine when you were a child, a story that maybe you have that you think of when you think of discipline. Well, for me, it goes back to my earliest memory of getting in trouble with my parents. It was in second grade, and I got this little stainless steel revolver cap gun. And it was the coolest thing ever. You got these little pellets that you'd put in it, and there was little gunpowder, so when you pulled the trigger, it would create a loud popping noise, and you could see a light in a flash, you could smell the gunpowder, and it was just so cool. And so, of course, naturally, I wanted to show it off to all of my friends. And I thought, what a better place to do that than at school. So I take my cap gun that looks realistic, right, and I holster it to my little waistband of my pants, and I hide it, and I sneak it on the bus, and I take it with me to school, and I get off the bus, I get there, I get in our classroom where our cubbies are at, and I pull up my shirt, and I show and reveal this gun that I had holstered to my hip. And of course, the kids there weren't the only ones who saw this. The teacher did too, and I can only imagine the thoughts. Hopefully, this isn't a real gun. Oh my goodness. I got it taken away. There was a phone call to my parents, and later that afternoon, I get home, and of course, I got in trouble, right? I got in trouble, and I was grounded, and it felt like forever. 2 weeks, right? And so here's a picture of that very time. There I am, second grade, with my favorite stuffed animal, grounded in the corner. Wasn't allowed to see anything, look at anything. I had to space the corner, and of course, I wasn't very happy, right? But to this day, I have this memory. I remember this story. I never seen that cap gun again. But I also never took something to school that I wasn't supposed to or hid that truth from my parents. And so I learned a valuable lesson from this discipline that I got from my parents. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why we discipline? What's the point of it? What is discipline? How can we do this in a godly way? And the purpose of it. And training our kids properly, and not just morally, but more importantly, towards the Lord and what the Lord wants for us. And so, as I'm up here today, for those of you who know me and maybe those of you who don't, I got married 9 months ago, right? I am not a father yet. I am not a parent. Although I love and I would love to have a child, Lord willing, soon, if it's in his will, I would love to be a parent, but I'm not. I am not. And I'm coming to you today as just a man preaching the word of God. So when you ask yourselves, or if you think to yourself, why should I listen to him? Well, don't. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to what I have to say. What does the Bible have to say on this? What is the truth in God's word? It's not from me, not from my experience, but what does the Lord himself say on this matter? And that's what we're going to be focusing on, what God's instructions are and his teachings for us, for as parents or as children in any regard, as people, as followers of Christ. And so, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, this verse starts by addressing the father in particular, but I believe it is also true for both parents, right? In parenting, what does it mean to provoke your child to anger? So let's look at what the Bible has to say. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, you don't have to flip there, we see it says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And later on in chapter 15 of Proverbs, in verse 18, it says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So what does this mean? It means to be slow to anger. Be slow to speak. Speak softly, not hot-tempered, not using harsh words. And I like the way the NIV says this. The word provoke in the NIV is actually replaced with the word exasperate. The word exasperate, which means to genuinely anger someone, even to the point of resentment. It's more than just eliciting a response or stirring them up, but you're genuinely angering them. And you're wearing them down to maybe even a point of defeat. You're not lifting them up. And so if we look even now at this word provoke and we go deeper into what the Greek says, it's this word paragizo. And para meaning to come alongside, and orgizo meaning to make angry, or in other words, you're bringing someone alongside to anger. And so as you saw in that picture, even when discipline is done right, it can still cause frustration, it can still cause pain and to be upset, but as parents, that is not the intention. When they do get frustrated, when our children do get upset, we should come alongside them, but with the intention to leave them in love, to bring them to a place of understanding and not to a place of anger. And so when discipline isn't handled carefully, we end up provoking our kids to anger. And this can look different depending on the situation. But here are some examples of what that can look like, of how we can provoke our kids to anger. Number one is disciplining in anger. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness, the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So what does this mean practically? It means when you're angry at your kid for not turning off their Xbox to come eat dinner or do their homework, it means that you don't grab the Xbox and smash it and run over their games with the lawnmower. And that's an extreme example, but I promise, I seen it online. I seen it happen with my own eyes. But no, more realistically, that's an extreme example, but it means not using a harsh tone in your words out of anger or raising your voice out of frustration or in unfair or unjust punishment. Or you're grounded for the rest of your life, or you're grounded for the rest of the summer, or whatever it is. Discipline that is driven by your own frustration and not for your children's formation and growth will result in provoking them to anger. It results in resentment, and it can cause unrighteousness, and it can cause wickedness that the verse James tells us. And effectively, you're turning them away from the Lord. So that's one way. What's another way? This way, I believe, is far worse and far more dangerous. This is neglect. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So I'd like you to think, what's the opposite of love? What is the opposite of love? For me and for maybe many of you, you might think, oh, the opposite of love is hate, right? The opposite of love is hate. But I would argue, no, that it's not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. It's apathy. It's a lack of concern. It's a lack of care. You don't feel anything at all. It's just, it doesn't bother you. It doesn't matter. And so you're neglecting to discipline your child. And it's one of the most dangerous things that a parent can do. They're allowed to do whatever they want. You aren't showing care or attention for their growth. Maybe it's out of simply the busyness of your life, or your attention is being directed elsewhere, maybe to your job or your finances. But to you, something else has become more important than your care for your child's development and growth. You're avoiding hard conversations or not leading your child spiritually or emotionally, and therefore they're not learning how to be disciplined, to discipline themselves in their actions. And so the Bible goes as far to say that if you don't discipline them, then you actually hate them. And a lack of care can surely provoke a child to anger. And so these examples that we're talking about, they're heavy, right? They can carry a heavy weight. Being a parent is not easy, and I'm sure of it. But at times we fail. Whether you're a parent, or if you're a son, or if you're in here as a daughter, and you're hearing this and it's hitting a little too close to home, and you're thinking you've messed up, or somehow like maybe you failed, I just want to encourage you that not a single one of us in this room is perfect. There is only one perfect Father. There is only one, and that is our Heavenly Father. Not a single one of us in this room can hold that title. And so for as many of us who has failed at either parenting or being a friend or being a person, there is a loving Father who can equally redeem and restore every one of us, no matter what the circumstances are. So fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what does that mean, to bring them up in discipline and instruction? Well, it's more than just a moralistic discipline, and it's more than just instructions for how to be a good person, but it comes from the Lord and focuses the child's faith on the child's faith and focuses their hope on Christ. And the point of it is to correct them out of love and to teach them of the love of Jesus for their benefit and their growth in faith in God. With gentleness, with kindness, with intention, and with meeting consistently and carefully. The book of James, again, chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." And this at times can be so difficult. With younger children, with older children, with teenagers, it requires patience. It requires a tender heart, but it's difficult. How many times have we acted out of anger, right? And how many times has acting out of anger gone poorly, right? I'm sure no one here has ever done or said anything out of anger that they've regretted later, right? No, I have, surely, all the time. It's very easy when we get upset, when we get angry, to say things that we truly don't mean or act in a way that we know we probably shouldn't have. And I love the way a commentary says it. What a fragile flower a child is. He can be so easily crushed by his parents, or he can be made to blossom beyond expectation, bringing untold joy to his parents and to himself. And I personally would even add an untold joy to the Lord. Responsibility to properly discipline our children is given to us by God, but he doesn't do it without first setting the example and setting the standard for in which we should follow. And the example is God himself and how he disciplines and reproves those who believe in him and those who call him Father, those who are now grafted in as children of God. And this is what he says in regards to his own children. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises, or in other words, in training and correcting, every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Please hear this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, the Lord himself disciplines us. He disciplines us out of love, and he sets that standard for us as parents for how to do that. Disciplining gently, however, does not necessarily mean that disciplining won't upset or even be painful in the moment. But the Bible tells us that in the long run, this will later yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And that this sort of parenting, when done right, is a sign of love and care. It's a statement and a testimony to your desire to see your child grow in righteousness and holiness unto the Lord. The Lord, who is the perfect Father, when we are not able to meet that standard, he is the one that we should look to. We, as believers, have a perfect Father in heaven, one who reproves and disciplines, one who cares and nourishes, and he is the perfect example. So our ability to be good parents, to be good spouses, to be good children is directly related to our ability to be like Christ, to know him, to know his love, and to love like him, to submit to his will, and to follow his voice, and to teach his instructions. This is why it's so important for us to read the Bible, to look at the scriptures, to study his word. The closer that we get to God, the better that we can be as parents, as brothers and sisters and husbands and wives, as children of God. And so the Lord, he's blessed us. He has blessed us with the ability and the opportunity to minister to these little ones. So it's important for us to understand this and how we can disciple our kids into the next generation of the church to help them grow into men and women who will impact the world one way or another, just as we have impacted them and as the Lord has impacted all of us. And for those of us here who are not parents, we should all model God's love and care to those around us, to our family, our nephews and our nieces, to students and to colleagues at work, to everyone around us. For me, some of the greatest spiritual guidance that I ever got was was from my great aunt. I called her my auntie, who I would spend much time with, and she would teach me of what sin was and teach me of the Lord and even correct me on what they call white lies being sinful. And at that time, it seemed trivial, and I didn't understand why it was such a big deal. But now, later in my life, has become such a big part of my testimony and my growth towards the Lord. And that can be you. That can be all of us. We all have that opportunity to have that impact, to share the love of Christ, to share the instructions, and to teach what he says in his word, to have that impact on those around us, to lead them to the Lord, to lead them to repentance. So we've talked about provoking and what that looks like. And now we've talked about discipline and we're going to talk about instruction, the instruction of the Lord. If discipline is what sets the boundaries, then the instructions explain why the boundaries are there. And these words are held together hand in hand. They should not be viewed as separate. And in the original scripture, the word there is connecting both to do together. It's both correcting and training, but also teaching and instructing. And so it's so important that we explain the reason why that we are disciplining when something is wrong. Because disciplining without explanation will lead a child to be obedient out of fear of consequences and not out of wisdom and faithfulness to the Lord. So it's crucial that we take the time to explain why it matters, the reasoning behind the corrective action, to bring them under the instruction of the Lord, not to send them, but to guide them, to walk with them in this instruction as you show them why. Why we shouldn't steal, why we shouldn't lie, why we shouldn't watch those videos on our phones or say those words, and why we shouldn't sin. It's important that we teach them of the weight of that sin. That because of our sin, we are eternally separated from God. And we should protect them from that. Protect them from the things that are on the internet and on their phone that will damage their life. Which means we have to be aware. We have to be aware of those dangers. The instruct our children is to put into their minds the immense importance of being obedient to not just us, but to the Lord. And the only way that we can be freed from that sin is because we have a loving God who is willing to pay the price for us, who has already done it. All of our wrongdoings are the consequences of our actions and of that sin. Our God is greater than that. He's greater than we can imagine. And praise God for that sacrifice that he made for us. We should always point them back to Jesus. Point them back to the Father in heaven. Because knowledge of who the Lord is and our need for him as a Savior and as a Father is the difference between a life full of peace and a joy and the difference between a life full of sin. The difference between a life full of purpose and a life full of disobedience. Teaching our children the truth of the gospel is teaching them the truth that can set them free. It's the most important thing that the world, in the world and as a parent, that you could ever share with them. This is your greatest ministry opportunity, which is to our children. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Being aware of this truth is what defines us as believers. And it's so important that our kids are hearing this truth every day, and not just on Sundays, not just in the kids' programs we have on Wednesdays, the Awana that we have, but every day we're teaching them and showing them who Christ is, and shepherding them and leading them towards God. And so how do we do that? How can we instruct our children towards the Lord? Well, we can instruct them verbally, teaching them of the love of Christ, reading the Bible to them, praying with them, teaching them what obedience looks like and what sin is and why it's so dangerous, right? But we can also teach them, and we do teach them, with our actions. See, even as at an early age of 2, kids will start to mimic what their parents say and do, good or bad. And you may learn more about yourself and your habits from your children than you might like to admit, because they reflect what they see and they're always watching you. And as their parent, your impact on them is the most profound. So, let them see you pray before meals. Let them see you on your knees at the end of your bed at night praying to God. Let them see how you love your wife. Let them see what a healthy marriage looks like. Let them see how you resolve conflicts with each other or go on date nights. Let them see the love of Christ in you, in how you speak and in how you act. When the guy in front of you cuts you off on the freeway, or when your 13-year-old son hits a baseball directly through your window, let them see the love of Christ in you and how you discipline them, and how you instruct them. Let them hear how you praise God. Let them hear how you worship. Let them hear the story of God's might and his wonder and his glory, and how he's worked in your life and in a real and in an active way. In the personal impact that he has had on your life, in your testimony. We should share this with them. We should share this truth of who God is every day. We should also be willing to let them see us repent when we're wrong. Let them see us. Let us show them what asking forgiveness looks like. When we feel and we say, hey, bud, I'm sorry. I was angry. I shouldn't have said what I said. Will you forgive me? You'd be surprised the impact that you can have when you are humble enough to admit that you've done something wrong to your children. And to show them that even you need to repent of your sins, and we all have a need for the salvation of Christ. So we should do this daily. In Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorsteps, the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. Following Christ and being a godly parent begins with following God with all of your heart and all of your might and all of your soul. Every day that we have with our kids, we should strive to help shape and guide them towards Christ. And this isn't through constant lecturing or nagging, but it comes from real and a true place of love for the Lord and love for his children to become more like him. And this isn't an expectation for you as a parent to be perfect, or for you as a parent to expect your child to be perfect. If they were, they wouldn't need to be disciplined, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we do have a perfect Father. And the expectation is that we all need to look to the Lord for his guidance in his instruction, as parents and as sons and as daughters, as husbands and wives, as brothers and sisters and as the church. The truth is, we could have no better counsel than counsel with the Lord. Because when we fail as parents and as children and as people, he never will. The love from the Father, the guidance and the discipline from the Father is perfect because he is perfect. And so was his Son, Jesus Christ. And yet God loved, his love for us was so perfect that he was willing to send his perfect Son to die on our behalf for our sin. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And the truth is Romans 5:8, that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there's nothing that we could ever do to earn that. No amount of discipline or instruction could get us to a point of perfection. But it is when we understand the immense need for God and the gift that he has given us that we begin to want to listen to him and to his instruction and to be more like him, to give glory to him, and that there is nothing that we can do that will separate us from the love of God. To separate us from the love of our Father in heaven. Yet, he gives us a choice. A choice to choose him or a choice to reject him. Will you choose to follow his voice today? To follow his instruction? To listen to his corrections? There's no better person to follow than the person of Jesus Christ. There is no greater Father than our Father God in heaven. There is no greater joy than to follow the Lord. This is the most important choice that you will ever make. Will you choose him today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your gifts of salvation, of grace, for your instruction, for your love, for your care for us. We thank you that you want to see us grow and you want to shape us into the best possible version that we can be. Lord, I thank you that you're living and that you're active in each and every one of our lives as we parent our children and our families. And I pray that that would be true today. That you would become the center, that you'd become the foundation in our lives for all of us. That we would model our love after you, that we would look to you as the example to follow and as the standard, that we'd look to you as our Savior, as our Lord, that we would put all of our trust in you and your abilities when we fall short, to redeem, to save, to make new, Lord. I just pray that this truth would be with us today. We continue to grow in our instructions to our children, that we would just think of you and how we can model after you and what you do, Lord. We thank you for that, for the truth, for your wisdom, for who you are. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.